room, we have on the phone with us Commissioners Gary Hansen and Christy Feagan. This is the time and the place for an ad hoc meeting of the Public Utilities Commission to begin looking at Grain Warehouse Docket 13-001 in the matter of Gregory Farmer's Elevator Company. A petition has been submitted to the Commission by Commission staff asking for the suspension of the grain buyer license and grain warehouse license for Gregory Farmer's Elevator. With that, I will turn to Commission staff to present their case.
Thank you, Commissioner. Kristen Edwards for staff. I just have one slight amendment to the petition. We cited SDCL 4943.5.9 in our petition for suspension. That should be 4943.5.6. And that the elevator has been made aware of that correction. It was just a clerical error. Following that, if it's all right, I would turn it over to Jim.
Go ahead, Mr. Melhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim Melhoff. I'm the director of the Grain Warehouse Division for the PUC. And what we have here is a petition to ask the commission to suspend the license of Gregory Farmer's Elevator. And if you'll give me some latitude, I'll just kind of walk you through the chronology of events that have led us here today.
Absolutely.
This actually probably started back at the time of renewal. Last year, we received their financials, which is a requirement of the licensing procedures. They have to provide financial statements and a bond. Their 531-11 financial statements that we received at that time did meet the requirements for licensure, but they were on the edge at that time. They showed a working capital amount of only $10,327 at that time, although the financial statements showed strong equity in the company at $400,000 plus, but their profits from that year, they'd lost $378,000 in FY11. In addition to those financial statements that were provided, they provided an updated financial statements as of 10/31/11. And these financial statements indicated that they were moving in the right direction. They had increased their working capital to $53,000 at that time, and their year-to-date profits as of October 31 were over $66,000 at that time. We issued the license, and I have on my notes when I issued the license that they needed to be watched. I did send an inspector down there right at that time to go down and look, which he did, and he came back with additional financial information, which was we got the February 29th of 12, the updated the compiled statement, which showed further improvement in their financial condition. They had increased their working capital to $142,000, and their equity was up to $555,000, and their year-to-date profits at that time were $57,800. But I instructed Paul to continue to watch them, so they were on an abbreviated inspection cycle at that time. So as we move forward to August 2nd, we received a call that there was a producer that had demanded payment for grain, and he felt that he wasn't being responded to and had not received his check at that time. So I sent both of our staff inspectors there to do a very thorough inspection of the facility at that time. That was on August 3rd. And the results of that inspection uncovered a deficiency in their working capital at that time. They were actually in a negative working capital position. Roughly their 731 financials, which we obtained at that, well, they weren't in at that time, but we'd seen preliminaries of them. Anyway, the final financial statement, the updated for 7/31/12, and these are all prepared by an outside accounting firm, showed that they were $108,000 in a negative equity position, and their year-to-date our profits at that time were down to $5,763.
If I might interject, did you said $108,000 negative in equity?
No, that was negative in working capital.
Thank you.
So their equity at that time was very near $500,000, $498,000. So I asked Paul and Justin, who are inspectors, to do a thorough examination of the place to see where we were at, to see if there was available assets, you know, in a worst-case scenario, if we had to go in and liquidate the co-op as of that day, would we be able to pay everybody? And their assessment at that time was that they would be able to. The staff person, the manager at that time, was cooperative and explained some of the things that they were doing and said that their subsequent later financial statements would show an improvement in their condition, which actually I don't have a copy of their 8/31/12 financial, but we got their 9/30/12, and it shows that they did improve their circumstances. They had brought their working capital. They were still in negative territory, but to $89,000 in the negative, so it was improved roughly about $20,000 from their July 31st. Their equity at that time was $531,000. Year-to-date profits was $27,976. Along this time, that was probably from that time that it kind of eroded from there. It never really got significantly worse, but it did continue. I guess treading water would be a good way to explain their situation. Going forward, their working capital from month to month was in the area of $150,000 to $180,000 to the negative. Their equity was pretty steady, right around the $420,000 amount. And their profits, they continued to lose money slowly. As of today, I'll just take you up to the 2/28/13 financial statement shows them with $193,891 negative. Their equity at $413,000 and their year-to-date profits at minus $89,000. During this time, as I said, we've monitored them very closely. We receive reports from them every Thursday to determine where they were at with their grain on hand, their payables, their line of credit, and such. In November of 2012, we learned that their manager had been suspended and was being looked into for possible embezzlement charges. It's been determined that that manager has been charged, although it has not gone to court yet. Also, around that time, we became aware that they started consulting with somebody that we had confidence, Lowell Peterson, who's a former manager of Midwest Co-op, very experienced grain man. And he began to consult with them, and we spoke with him several times over the phone, and he was consulting with the board and management, and he confirmed what our assessment was that certainly they were having rough times, but the equity and the within the elevator was sufficient to cover their liabilities in the event that a liquidation became necessary. So during this time, staff made the decision that we would work very closely with the board and the management and to give them an opportunity to turn their elevator around. And we've been doing that for quite some time. And in October, PUC attended a patrons meeting in Gregory. And at that time, it was explained to the patrons exactly what their situation was. It was very well attended. Nearly 100 patrons attended that meeting. It was advertised in the newspapers there. And the consensus from the patrons at that time was that they should try to seek a merger with another local co-op. And when they left that meeting, but they also came up with the plan B, which they were going to, hopefully if that wasn't possible, they were going to try to raise the capital among the patrons.
If I could interject, when was that meeting? Which month?
That was in February.
Of this year?
Yep, February 20th, 13th.
Thank you.
We continue to stay in close contact with the board and the management, unfortunately.
Commissioner Nelson?
Yes.
I thought I heard that it was October.
I believe that's what Mr. Malhoff said initially, and that's why I asked for the clarification.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
I appreciate that. In my mind, I said February. But it was indeed in February. So I apologize if I said October. So that patrons meeting took place, consensus to try to seek a merger. Plan B was to seek additional capital if that wasn't possible. We continued to follow up on their progress towards doing that, and it turned out that the other local co-op was not interested in doing the merger. So I went down on 3/13 and attended a board meeting, and I went down there with Paul, who was our inspector at the time. And the reason we went down there, because we determined that they were starting to run into some trouble reaching the end of the line. Mainly, there had been a check presented for $144,000, and there was not sufficient cash to cover that check, which is one of the acts that we determined that when that happened, that staff would not have any more latitude, that we would have to move on the license. So we attended that meeting, and the bank was represented at that meeting. The board was there, their accountant, and also Mr. Peterson attended that meeting. And we discussed what we were going to do. At that time, the check that was presented was by a board member, and he agreed at that time that he would consider, you know, that he was going to hold that check and possibly sign it over to the elevator and take a debenture note or possibly a preferred stock in the company. So we discussed it at that time, and we reached agreement that the bank, because that check was withdrawn, all the others had been covered at that time. And at that time, they scheduled a meeting, and the bank said that they would work with them until we could get through this next patrons meeting.
Chairman Nelson?
Yes.
When Mr. Milhoff said all others were covered, does he mean all other checks or all other payables or?
All the other checks were covered. All the checks cleared the bank with the exception of the one that was presented by one of the board members, which he withdrew that. So a patrons meeting was scheduled on 3/21, and again, the call was put out, and then we discussed the steps that had been taken to try to reach an agreement to merge with the local Cenex, and there were other discussions about possible investments from local business leaders, possibly even the other Cenex, some of the farmers. And basically, a call was put out to the patronage at that time, and that was also very well attended, well over 100 people in attendance. And a call was put out to pledge some paid-in capital in the form of preferred stock. When we left that meeting, there had been interest in pledging $173,000. The consensus, I think the agreement was that they needed to get to $400,000 in order to write their balance sheet and to put them in a position where they could continue as a going concern, basically have enough freeboard to buy and sell grain and to be able to take positions and sell it in such a way as to be profitable. We left that meeting somewhat disappointed. But as we left the meeting, I know I talked to a number of patrons who came up and expressed a desire to rally behind the elevator, and some said that they would they would put up, as one gentleman told me, that he would put up $25,000, which actually brought him to $200,000. So we left that meeting hopeful but concerned, and we continued to monitor the situation. I talked to the board chairman several times over this period of time, and the other day it just became apparent that they were not going to be able to raise that additional capital, and therefore would not be able to continue as a going concern, and that's why we filed the petition to take action to suspend the license.
Thank you. Let me say before we go any further, Mr. Malhoff, I greatly appreciate what you and your staff has done to closely monitor this over all of these months. This is not a fun thing to do, I know, but I also know that you've obviously worked very closely with them to try to pull this out, and unfortunately we've come here today with not the result that I know that you or the board there would have liked. I'm going to ask you a series of questions first of all, and then we'll go to the other parties and get some additional testimony. At 2012 relicensure time, what was the working capital and equity at that point?
On June 30th of 12, they would have showed $142,000 negative working capital. Although at that time we would not have seen those financials, they would not have been prepared. They would have been renewed prior to that. What they gave us was their 531-11 and their 1031-11. And then, of course, their 229-12 showed further improvements. Their 531 showed them slipping back into to a position of negative working capital.
Okay. Let's talk just a little bit about these outstanding checks. In your petition, I'm looking at paragraph 6, staff has reason to believe that the elevator has outstanding checks for grain purchases to at least two producers. So can you go through at as of today, what checks have been written and delivered to producers that are outstanding, that haven't been presented for payment?
It's my understanding today, and this has been a fluid situation, and I was watching it right up till yesterday afternoon. I haven't got a report this morning.
And let me just say, Sherman is on the line. Vermaka, he is the president of the board down there. And Sherman, when it's your opportunity to weigh in, if there's anything that you feel is different from what Mr. Malhoff is telling us, we'd be happy to listen to that when we get you on the line. But go ahead, Jim.
Okay. Mr. Chair, at this time, it's my understanding that there are five checks that I do not have knowledge that they have cleared the bank. I do know that four of the checks, one of them in the amount of $73,681, and then another three that belong to another individual in the amount of $90,000, the total of the three, have been presented, and at the time of their presentation, there was money in the account to cover them. I also am aware of another check for $3,648.62 that has been mailed to a gentleman in Rapid City. I don't believe that has cleared the bank yet, but to the best of my knowledge, there are funds available to cover that check as well. There is another check, which I discussed earlier, which was for $144,102, which was presented and then withdrawn. And that was to be kind of considered a possibly being signed over to the co-op in the form in exchange for a debenture note or additional preferred stock. So, to sum up, there's one check that I have no knowledge that it's been presented, whether it has been presented for payment or not, and then the $144,000. These other checks were presented, and I know that there was cash available to cover them.
So it's the $73,000 and some odd dollars and the $144,000 and some odd dollars that are the two that are really of concern here, correct?
Well, the $144,000, well, let me, I would say they're all of concern. It just depends. I do not know what the banks, what position they took on any of those checks.
Okay, thank
you.
If
they chose to freeze the account, they may not have cleared. But I am aware that there was available cash in the account to cover those checks at the time that they were presented.
Okay. Are there other cash grain sales that have not been paid for?
There is a very small payable, which is a cash sale. I think it's about $5,300.
Are there other sales that were on voluntary credit or deferred payment that have not been paid?
At this time, their records show that all deferred grain has been paid.
Okay.
Chairman, may I ask Mr. Melhoff a question?
Certainly. Go ahead, Mr. Smith.
When you say they've been paid, are we talking checks cut or cleared?
I'm talking checks cut and presented, and there was money in the bank to cover them. Whether they have cleared or not, I do not know for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Is there currently farmer-stored grain at the facility?
There, it's very negligible. The grain bank accounts are very small.
Is there any concern that if we take the action that you're asking for today of suspending the license, is there any concern with those farmers being able to retrieve their grain?
I do not have any concerns that the grain will not be redeliverable.
Okay, so based on your inspections and your knowledge, the grain is there.
There is grain there, yes.
Okay. Is there anything that we would need to do, assuming we accept your recommendation to suspend, is there anything that we need to do to protect that grain?
I would defer to legal staff, but I think that we have done. We will go down there again. I mean, we were down there yesterday and to kind of get a good picture of where we're at. But we will go down again Monday to ensure that the grain is secured.
Thank you. And I think the last question I've got, as you were going through your timeline, the last financial numbers that you had were as of 2/28. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so we're a month past that.
Yes, we are.
And so we do not know as of this point what their working capital, or more importantly, what their net worth is at this point. Is that correct?
We don't have anything from a certified public accountant that says it. I have a pretty good idea of myself based on calculations and interviews with the folks. And if you want me to run down there, this is a fairly rough estimate, but my estimate shows that they have $500,000 of grain on hand. They have accounts receivable of $98,000. And that's making an allowance of $127,000 for accounts receivable that are likely uncollectible. They should have available cash of $22,000 and property, plant, and equipment. My estimate, based on visiting with a number of people, is that at the low end it should be worth $750,000. So their total assets should be $1.37 million.
And total liabilities?
Their line of credit stands at $1,024,000. Their long-term debt is at $75,000. There's a board member who's still holding a check for $144,000. So their total liabilities are $1,243,000. So there should be 100, and $27,000.
Could you give me that line of credit number again?
$1,024,000.
Okay. And so based on those rough numbers, it appears that the net worth has, in fact, declined over the last month, but understand these are rough numbers.
These are rough numbers.
Okay. I think that's all the questions I've got at this point. Commissioner Feagin, any questions for Jim?
I do have some questions, but I think I'm just going to wait. Are we going to have more testimony?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to wait until the testimony is done, and then I'm going to start my questions.
Very good. Commissioner Hansen, any questions at this point?
Yes, I'd like to wait for the rest of the testimony, then I have some questions, too. Thank you.
Very good. At this point, I will turn to the representatives from Gregory Farmers Elevator. Sherman, go ahead and introduce yourself and any testimony you'd like to offer. Sherman, you might still have it on mute. We're not hearing you.
Yes. This is Sherman Pomachka from Gregory, one of the directors here. What's been stated is accurate. Jim did state on if the checks cleared the bank. I'm still waiting to see if they've been honored or not. So, but everything is in order like it was said.
And do you have any testimony to offer on the question of suspension that we're dealing with today?
The only thing there is right now, there is ongoing talks here that there might be our local cooperative possibly coming to some ideas that they might buy it. I don't know at this time. That's between the bank and the other cooperative. I tried to talk with the bank, but they was busy and in meetings or whatever. So at this time, that's the only thing that I know right now, that there is some hope there, but right now.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that testimony. I'm going to ask, is there anybody in the audience present here today that would like to offer any commentary? Seeing none, I will go back to Commissioner questions. Commissioner Feagin.
I will certainly yield to the chairman first, and I will go after him.
Go ahead. Mr. Chairman Hansen, go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Correct me, please, if I mispronounce your last name, Hermaja. Is that correct?
Sherman Pomachka. I have to add a little thing here. I did find out that the checks did clear, one of $90,000 and one for $73,000. So those two have cleared.
Okay, so of the three checks, I'm hearing a phone ringing in the background right now.
Turning off.
Of the three checks that we were curious about, there's one for $5,300 for a cash grain sale. Do you know if that's cleared?
Chairman Hansen, Chairman Hansen, I'm going to have Jim answer that.
Chairman Hansen, it's my understanding that the request for that payment has not been made at this time, so the check has not been issued, but it is a liability on the books.
Thank you. And so the $73,000 has cleared, and the $144,000 is from an individual that it's agreed to take a debenture note or preferred stock, correct? I didn't catch the $90,000 as we were going through. I don't recall hearing a $90,000 check, but now I hear that one is cleared for $90,000.
Yes, Chairman Hansen, there was a $90,000, as Jim was laying out the various checks. The other one that Mr. Melhoff mentioned was one for $3,648, and I'm assuming that we don't know at this point whether or not that one's cleared.
All right. Thank you. So could someone please tell me if the people who are still holding checks or in a position like the gentleman with $144,000, if those are members of the board?
Yes, that would be me. I'm a member of the board, that one for $144,000.
And that is, the $144,000 is yours, sir?
Correct.
Okay, and the one for $3,640, is that a member of the board as well?
Go ahead, Mr. Melhoff.
Mr. Chair, no, that is not a board member. That's a gentleman from Rapid City. I believe it's a share of crops that was planted through leased farmland.
All right, thank you. And, sir, could you tell me, do you still have a bond? Are you a bonded warehouse?
Are you asking of that of me?
Yes.
Yes.
And what's the amount of that bond?
I believe at $800,000.
Commissioner Hansen, if I could have Mr. Melhoff weigh in at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Hansen. The bonds that they hold, they have an $800,000 grain warehouse bond, and they have a $100,000 grain buyer bond.
So at this juncture, all of the producers should be in a position where they, they're at risk, but they should all be able to be taken care of. Is that correct?
Commissioner Hansen, my assessment would be that all of the producers should be taken care of, and the bond likely would not even come into play.
Okay. Great. But it is your opinion that they are underwater, and at this juncture, I know this is very fluid, that their licenses should be revoked at this juncture, correct?
Yes, Commissioner. My opinion is that their equity is still sufficient, but their working capital is not, and it has not been, and it appears that they will not be able to bring it up to an area where they can continue as a going concern. Now, Mr. Vomachka has said today that there are still some ongoing talks. So if the commission should vote to suspend at this time, there would be a two-week period in which that they could come forward and present a plan and show that they have brought themselves to a position where they can continue as a going concern, and at that time it could be reinstated.
Thank you. And that was something I was curious about, how much time they would have to try to correct the problem, how much of a window there if we did take action today. I appreciate that. And one other question, well, perhaps a couple, but these are questions in general that I think that the public is probably interested in knowing, since there's a couple of years ago we had the challenge with the other warehouse. Can you tell me, or at least assure the public to an extent, is this indicative of the condition of other grain warehouses? Should the public be concerned at all here?
Commissioner, I would say that this is not what I would call indicative of the industry in general. Obviously, with the volatility in the markets, a few poor management decisions can put an elevator in a bad position very quickly. So we will continue to monitor the industry as we have been. And I would say that this is not This is, I do not see a weakening of the grain handling industry in general.
So this situation and the other situation are particular to those grain warehouses. I don't mean to testify for you, but I want to find out whether you agree or not. This is particular to these two grain warehouses, and it's a result of poor management practices. Is that your position?
That would be my position, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If I could just ask one before we go to Commissioner Feagin. Mr. Hromadka has now testified that the 73,000 and the 90,000 checks have cleared. That's certainly good news. Mr. Melhoff, do you know, in so doing, has that increased the bank line of credit?
No. Would you say that question again?
The fact that the $73,000 check and the $90,000 check have cleared the bank, and that was what I understood from Mr. Hromadka, in so doing, has that increased the bank line of credit liability line?
It has not. There was cash available in the account when those checks were presented.
Very good.
And if I could go further, Mr. Chair, I would say that there should be cash available to cover the last check that we don't have knowledge of, the 3,648. There should be an additional $20,000, $22,000 available cash to cover that one as well without tapping the line of credit.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Commissioner Feagin.
Sir, can I interrupt here? I just found out this is Sherman Hromadka again. I just found out that the two checks that I just spoke of were returned. When we went online to check the account, it showed that it was good, but we accessed it just in the last couple minutes, and it showed they were not honored at this time.
Oh, okay. We greatly appreciate your clarifying that. Obviously not what we were hoping for, but we'd certainly appreciate that clarification.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, there was things going on here. We was checking it or whatever. At one time it was showed honored or whatever. It had went clear to bank, but at this time we went back and it wasn't. Sorry about that.
Then maybe if I could follow up on Commissioner Hansen's earlier question, the two individuals with those two checks, are they current board members?
Yes. One of them is a board member. One was a former board member.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Feagin.
Thank you. First of all, thank you to the Grain Warehouse for monitoring this and also for the board for working with our team to try to get these payables to a reasonable amount. I have a lot of clarifying questions because I didn't want to interrupt Mr. Melhoff necessarily during his testimony. So I'm going to go back way to some of the questions. I'm going to follow up with Commissioner Nelson's questions on the licensure, which, of course, goes into effect July 1st of 2012. Commissioner Nelson asked when the financial statements you looked at when you licensed, was I hearing you correctly that you were looking at 5/31/2011 and 10/31/2011?
That is correct.
So we had nothing more current than 10/31/2011 when we did the licensure?
That is correct.
And when was the license? I know you rotate, you know, you have like 300 and some people you license. When was that done?
The renewal period generally starts right about now. We send out all the packets and then we receive all the information to renew the licenses. So it was done during the period between now and June 30th.
So we don't have a date on that?
I don't have the exact date when that particular license was issued and sent out, no.
Okay. So when we went there as staff, when your staff went there between March and June 30th of 2012, the most current financial statements were 10/31/2011, and is that because they were audited, or why would it be that far back?
Commissioner, their fiscal year end is 5/31/11, and we require that they provide a reviewed or audited statement, and that was their most recent year of completed activity was 5/31. So that was the reviewed financial statement. And at that time, because it was kind of on the edge, it did qualify, but because it was on the edge, they also at that time provided the 10/31/11, which showed an improvement in their situation. And then
so
after
10/31 is not audited, it's just their financial statements?
It is a compiled financial statement, but it's compiled by the same auditor that prepares the reviewed statements.
So if we were in there in between March of 2012 and June of 2012 working on their licensure, help me understand why the financial statements we looked at during that time were 10/31/2011. I mean, it looks like we should have looked at January's or February's.
Yes. We did look at February's at that time. We got the February 29th, 2012 as well, which showed to continued improvement in their financial condition at that time.
So then on February, because I didn't get that written down here in my notes, I'm sorry. We are trying to take your notes as quickly as we can because we don't have handouts. The February 29th, 2012, what was their working capital?
Their working capital, according to that financial statement, was $142,000.
In the positive?
In the positive, which was an improvement over their October 31st, 11 of
$53,000. Okay. We're going to go back to these checks. Because, of course, as the Public Utilities Commission, our goal and, of course, your goal also is to try to protect producers as much as we can. Could you give us the list of the people that these checks belong to, or who are our producers that have this $73,000 check, and then there's three checks that total $90,000. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that information that is confidential, or?
Commissioner, I certainly have some concerns about naming names at this point. I'm not sure if it is confidential, but I would prefer to err on the side of caution and not name names at this time.
So can we, Commissioner Nelson or Hansen, go into confidential mode sometime today?
Certainly.
Okay.
But go ahead with the rest of your questions.
Sure. So there's $73,000, $90,000. We know the $144,000 is currently a board member that I totally appreciate that is honorable and respectful and is holding that to try to get other, it appears to me, to try to get other patrons paid. There's $36,000 or $3,600 from a Rapid City shareholder or something. And then there was a payable that I wrote down, and I'm scratching notes, so I'm so sorry that you have to repeat this. But it was like a $5,300 cash sales payable that a check hasn't been issued or has been, or what's the $5,300 that I scribbled?
Commissioner Feagin, I can give you a little bit more. For the $90,000, that is a total of three checks. And that is payable to a board member. The $73,681 is a single check, which is payable to a former board member. The $3,600 check is payable to an individual in the Rapid City area. And the $5,300 payable for grain, that's on one load of corn that had been delivered on a contract. And then the delivery had been suspended, so the contract has not been filled, but that payable is also due to a board member.
hearing was never delivered? Or was delivered? Was the grain delivered?
There was one load delivered on a contract, but the full contract has not been filled.
Okay. So most all the producers that are owed money from the Gregory Elevator are people that helped run the elevator or were board members?
That is correct.
That is something very, very honorable, and I certainly appreciate the leadership of the Gregory Board looking out for others before themselves. I mean, that's very, very good. Let's see. I'm looking at all my questions here. You talked about knowing on August 2nd because of a demand payment, and so then your staff went there on August 3rd. Tell us, I mean, because we don't know as commissioners your job, of course, and how you monitor, and we, of course, didn't know about the August 2nd because, of course, we're more judicial in our roles. So can you tell us what your procedures are when you hear something like this, and what does it mean? Because in your report that you sent us or your docket, it talks about that you did a detailed inspection and you continued to monitor. What does that mean?
Commissioner, that means that we sent two inspectors there to do a thorough examination of their scale tickets, their grain payables, the grain that they have on hand, their line of credit.
I'm trying to write down real quick, so line of credit. Okay.
Basically, we do an assessment of all their current and long-term liabilities and assets, and we try to determine if, well, the first thing we try to do is to determine if there was a misunderstanding, because that has happened before,
right,
where we have had reports where somebody has not been paid and there is a good reason for it. In this case, we determined that they were sitting on that check. They were slow to make that payment. And we did discover at that time that there were working capital deficiencies.
So when you do your detailed review, when you go down there, do you have a list of all the producers that are payable? So what did that list look like? Did it look completely different than it does today when we have the board members at 73 and 90 and 144 and 3,600 on a Rapid City guy?
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. It probably looked, I mean, obviously what we have today is an elevator that is trying to get their affairs in order, basically, as they approach the end of the line, as they knew they were. When we inspected at that time, they were an elevator that was operating as normal. So
do you know what the payables were or how many producers were outstanding at that time? Or do we have those records, or how do we do that when we go and do a detail? Do we keep all the detailed records with us so we have a continuation of how well they're doing while you're monitoring?
Yeah, generally when we do that, we will get DPR, which is a daily position report, which shows their grain and all the classifications that it's in, which are company-owned grain, stored grain, grain bank, company-owned unpaid grain, grain in transit, those types of things. And it also depicts grain that's on delayed price or deferred payment. And usually we take that DPR and then we go and we request all the other reports, which would show the amount of customers and the amount of bushels who have grain on delayed price contracts or deferred payment contracts. And basically we tie all those reports out to the daily position report. And then we go back and we look at the actual contracts and tie the actual contracts out to the reports. So at the end of an inspection like that, we can identify individuals and who's owed what.
So can you tell the commission today approximately what the number was? Was it a million or 2 million or 3 million? And was it 54 farmers or whatever that had deferred payment and voluntary credit sales, or payment due to them because of the cash sales? And can you tell us, like, what it looked like in August and September and October?
I could do that, Commissioner, but I probably couldn't do it with any certainty or accuracy off the top of my head right now, month by month. But that is something that we monitored actually on a weekly basis. So we did keep track of that, though I don't have those figures right on off the top of my head.
Okay. So as a commissioner, can we be assured that our team was looking at that and that it was coming down, and the board appears to me that they really tried to be very honorable and fair and really tried to get those people paid. So you and your team and the board spent the last 6 months on trying to get our producers paid. I mean, can we see those, that that's kind of what happened, or?
What staff did was we monitored very closely to make sure that the management wasn't increasing the risk or putting their producers at unnecessary risk, while at the same time we were allowing the board every opportunity to try to save their elevator. It's a little bit of a kind of a sad story, actually, to see this facility in the state that it's in right now, because it is a substantial facility, an important part of that community. So I think our goal, which I think is probably is a good prototype of what we brought forward with House Bill 1017, is in our situation where we require that they report. If they fall out of requirements, then our staff, the way I envision it, would go in and monitor very closely the situation and give the licensee, the elevator board, the opportunity to right the ship, so to speak. And while they do that, we watch them very closely to make sure that they're not putting producers at risk and give them every opportunity to save their facility.
Okay. As you know, the commission doesn't get the details of any of this, or is not even aware that this is going on. So that's why I'm trying to ask questions now, so I can understand what happens behind the scenes. And, I mean, we get to know kind of when the docket, of course, is open, or if we read something in the news. You talked about every Thursday you receive financial statements. So those were financial statements of the elevator that were done by, they have a third party that does them, correct?
Every Thursday we did not receive financial statements. What we received at that time was information on their positions, what was payable, what was deferred, how much grain was on hand, how much was company owned, what they had borrowed against their line of credit, all the things that we needed to determine if they were slipping, if they had gone into a fast slip, or if they were maintaining their status quo or improving their situation. The financial statements that are prepared by their accountant were monthly, and we also got those.
Okay. So in November 2012, it sounded like that the board must have notified you that they were suspending their manager and they had some concern about embezzlement. When that happens, what does the commission staff do on the credibility of financial statements or the credibility of financial information that is given to you?
With respect to the suspension, I mean, we look when we do our inspections. I mean, we look at all the reports. I guess I'm not really sure exactly what you mean. Certainly, we
take extra steps, because all of a sudden, it sounds like to me the PUC staff was notified in November that there was a suspension of the manager and there possibly could be an embezzlement. And it also, anytime there's an embezzlement or whatever the case is, or a alleged embezzlement, I guess it would be, financial statements are always a concern of people, and if they're accurate or if the numbers are correct or whatever. So what does our staff do when they hear something like that? I mean, do they go in and call the people that have accounts payable or accounts receivable and verify things? Or what extra steps do we do when there's a situation like that?
Commissioner, I would say that when this was going on, I think we were taking all the extra steps just by virtue of what was happening before. So the fact that the manager was dismissed did not necessarily cause us to change our trajectory.
Okay. I have to see if I have a note everywhere here.
If I could add to that, Commissioner, if we became aware of a manager in a place that we weren't watching very closely, we would come in and start watching them very closely. But at this time, we had already started that process where we were getting the weekly reports and watching and inspecting them on site on a regular basis.
Okay. Are there, and I don't know how we can ask this, and so we're in an open meeting, so I feel like I can ask this question. I don't know if you can answer it. But are there any other grain warehouse or grain buyers in the state of South Dakota currently that are licensed with the Public Utilities Commission that have a working capital that is negative that you're aware of?
I am not aware of any other licensees that are in a negative working capital position. Come April 1st, if there are any, they better be calling us, though.
And if I could just expand on that for the benefit of anybody listening, the reason Mr. Melhoff said that is that House Bill 1017, passed by the legislature, becomes effective April 1st, and any grain buyer or warehouse that goes into a negative situation has to immediately notify the commission of that or face criminal penalty, and that hence his answer. Go ahead, Commissioner Feagin.
Last of all, I want to again thank the Board of Directors for their diligence and working hard to try to get other people paid. It sounds like I can't quite tell through Mr. Melhoff's testimony if there were really other producers or not, but it appears to me there must have been other producers that were paid before the board, and I certainly appreciate that, and I certainly hope the Rapid City shareholder of some type of shared crop of $3,600 can get paid also. But I certainly appreciate that, and also that you're looking into other operations, maybe a merger or somebody else coming in and to invest in your community, because elevators are certainly the lifeline of a community and an agriculture land that we live in, and we want to keep them going in a very positive way. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate the hard work. And, of course, we had lots of questions today, but as you know, as a commission, we're quasi-judicial, and we're unaware of the day-to-day operations because of dockets that may come in front of us. Thank you.
Commissioner Feagin, are you still wanting us to go into confidential session to get the names of the three individuals?
No, I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
Thank you. Commissioner Hansen, any other questions?
No, thank you.
Mr. Rislov.
This is Greg Rislov with the Commission. Jim, you made a couple of statements that I would like to follow up on. You were asked your opinion, and you, it may not be a perfect quote, but you stated, in your opinion, this elevator will not be able to bring it up, and I think you were referring to working capital. Is that correct?
That is correct. I just became clear to me that the elevator was not going to be able to raise the working capital.
And you also made a statement, if I recall, that said bad decisions can get an elevator in trouble very quickly, I believe, and that was in reference to whether or not, I believe Commissioner Feagin, whether or not there were any elevators in trouble or whatever. Do you recall that?
I do recall that statement. I think that was in reply to a question from Commissioner Hansen.
Oh, okay. With that as background, let's assume in the next 2 weeks that $400,000 could be raised. Given that this elevator has appeared to have been on a downward slide for the better part of the past year, What assurance is there that regarding operational changes that will enable this elevator to reach a profitable position, or will it just continue to, even if the $400,000 was raised, would you anticipate it would just keep sliding downward? Have any changes been proposed in operations?
Mr. Rizloff, part of the plan was to bring on an experienced grain merchandiser or to work with another established company. I know they've been in talks with a number of different companies that have expressed an interest in providing marketing assistance to this elevator. So that would be key in their plan to continue as a going concern. And while I'm speaking, I know Commissioner Hansen asked me earlier about if it was a management problems, and my testimony says that it was. It was management of this particular elevator. But I just want to make sure that I'm not painting with a terribly broad brush. It was the former two managers, in my opinion, that brought the elevator to where they're at now. They're currently, you know, being managed by an individual who I think has done a good job and has been very responsible and has made the right decisions every time she had the chance to do so. So I just want to make sure that nobody is thinking that I'm casting any dispersions on the current manager, because I am not.
Any further questions from anybody?
Could I ask one, Mr. Chairman?
Certainly.
Jim?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just trying to understand the numbers now. And okay, we got the $90,000, right?
In unpaid. Reference to checks?
Yeah.
Checks presented, yes, $90,000.
Okay, we got the $73,000. Is that still unpaid in the sense of uncleared?
Correct.
And the $144,000?
Correct.
Okay, so we're talking right there about $310,000?
Or
yes.
$210,000. And there's also another check for $3,600.
And $3,600 and a peanuts, you know, but a thousand or two for the on the cash sale of $5,300, but only one load delivered. As that one load delivered, that has not been paid, correct?
That is correct.
So there's what, a thousand or two there?
A thousand or two what?
In that?
Believe that's about $5,300.
Oh, that's the delivery amount, huh?
Yeah, the load is worth that much, yes.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, in terms of what we're talking about as the total outstanding payables, and of those, we're talking, what, about $315,000, something like that?
Yes.
Okay, and the of those, I'm assuming, are the 90, the 73, and the 144, are those DPs?
I believe those were payment on DP contracts, yes.
And the 3,600 and the 53, those are cash sales?
Well, the 5,300 is it's still in open storage. Payment hasn't been requested for that. And the 3,600, I believe that's a DP as well.
Okay. And so none of those, and the reason I'm asking these questions is with respect to Commissioner Hansen's question and his understanding that these would all be covered by the bond. I mean, the real fact of the matter is, right, is that basically all of that 300 and some thousand, except for the 5,300. None of those are actually covered by the bond, are they?
That would be my assessment, yes.
Okay, well, thank you.
With no further questions, is there action from the commission? Is there a motion? I will move in Grain Warehouse 13-001 that the commission suspend the grain buyer and grain warehouse license of Gregory Farmers Elevator Company effective immediately. Discussion on the motion. I would simply say, as I said before, this is obviously not the point that we wanted to come to, but I think the evidence is clear that At least in the short term, this is a necessary action to prevent any further farmer loss, and perhaps give the company a couple of weeks to maybe try to regroup. The way the law works is that this suspension will turn into a revocation in 15 days unless the company requests a hearing, and at that point we'd further consider whether or not to go to actual revocation. Additional discussion.
Commissioner Began, just again, thank you to the staff for giving us all the information today, and also once again, thank you to the board for being honorable and fair and holding their deferred payments until other people were getting paid.
Other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson votes aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Motion carries. The license is suspended. Licenses are suspended immediately. Anything further? Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved by Commissioner Fegan.
Move to adjourn. All those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Motion carries. We are adjourned.